be seated. At First EPC, we believe that the Bible is God's truth, living, active, the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to know not only what it says, but we need to believe what it says. Scripture reading this morning comes from Zechariah. You may have to look that one up. Zechariah is next to Malachi, which is the last chapter in the Old Testament. So if you get to Matthew, go back one, go back two, you're in Zechariah. Zechariah was one of the, what we considered one of the minor prophets, but that doesn't mean minor in importance. But I'm going to read to you this morning from Zechariah chapter 4. I have in your bulletin, starting at verse 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 6, but you can read from verse 1 as you will, the vision. Starting in verse 6, then he said to me, this is the Lord, God speaking, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Let's pray a moment. Lord, it's always a challenge to understand what you're trying to say to us as we read some of these passages, and especially some, Lord, who are wrapped in so much vision and imagery. So, Lord, we especially need the grace of your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning, to show us a path through this word and something that you would want us to hear and understand, something that would mold our hearts and our lives for your glory. So Lord, minister to us, teach us as we gather around this word these few moments today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over and over again in both the Old and the New Testament, God's method of getting things done has been to use just plain, regular, ordinary people. Folks like you and me. More than we could even have time to recount today as we look through scriptures, there are examples of God using regular people. People who are frail, people with faults, people who have problems, people who have a past, just like you, just like me. These people all chosen, all called to do His kingdom work. His kingdom work. He used that man and woman well beyond childbearing years, you remember that story, to give birth to the nations. He used the kid sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, remember, to save a nation from starvation. He used a baby born into slavery to lead his people later out of slavery. He used a prostitute to help his people gain entrance into the promised land. And then he gave this prostitute a new life, and she became an ancestor of our Lord. And these just barely scratched the surface. My point is that God uses ordinary people. people with limitations, people just like you and me, to get things done, to get His work done. He uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary tasks. One such ordinary person with a very unordinary name is this fellow that we call Zerubbabel. He'd been born in Babylon. He was a slave. When the Jewish people were in exile there, several hundred years before Jesus was born. And when the Jewish people were allowed to begin migrating back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Nehemiah, another name that you can find in your Old Testament, Zerubbabel was among them. Eventually, in God's providence, he became the governor of Judah. Now, you would think that would be a big deal, but you got to understand Judah was in ruins. It was in ruins, mostly occupied by others from around other countries, people who had lost faith in God, people who were really in great disarray. He becomes the governor. And God spoke to him through the prophet Haggai, another name you'll find in your Old Testament. And through Haggai, God said, I will make you, Zerubbabel, I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you. Now the signet ring was that ring that was worn by the king, by the person in authority. And he would take that signet ring and he would press it into wax on important letters and onto documents, which indicated that it had his authority. So when that message went throughout the kingdom, everybody paid attention to it because it had the imprint of the king's signet ring. So they knew it was true, it was right. Maybe something like a notary today, except much, much more. God said to Zerubbabel, you, Zerubbabel, will be my signet ring, my mark, my authority, my seal. And he said, it's that way because I have chosen you. I've called you to this task. You know, God has chosen us, chosen you and me as well. God's called us. If we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we've been called. We've been chosen. And we talk about that. The people of Israel, they were God's chosen people. The church is God's chosen people. Those who believe in Jesus, we are God's chosen people. That means we're not just out there amongst the population. We sort of have a special hand on us, God's hand. That makes it a little bit kind of awesome, doesn't it? Should. It should. We're in situations like we are in because God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. It doesn't matter. You may say, well, God has a plan for me because I'm sick, I'm ill. Or I've got this disease, that, or I've lost my job, or whatever. Or, of course, we can turn it to the positive side because I found a great job. Or God has blessed me financially. All of those are part of God's purpose and God's plan for our life, God's providential care for us. It's up and it's down. It's different mixtures, but it's all His care. And it's all His care because He has chosen us. Chosen us, called us. We're His. We belong to Him. He's given us His authority. He's given us His power. And there are situations, good and bad, where God wants us to be like His signet ring. And He wants us to represent Him, to reflect Him, whether it's in our home, whether it's at the job, whether it be at school, no matter where it is. We're His signet ring, just like Zerubbabel was His signet ring. And He takes that ring and He puts it on our finger and He gives us all this authority, His authority, the King's power, and the King's ability to live an extraordinary life for His kingdom. Wow, That's a lot to get your head around. But that's who we are. It's not who we're supposed to be. We are that. Now, some of us do it better than others. Some of us are a little more willing than others. But that's who we are. That's who we are. God's chosen people. God's chosen people. In this reading this morning, God spoke to the prophet Zechariah. And through Zechariah, he was speaking to Zerubbabel. And he gave God, Zechariah, this vision of the lampstand. That's up there in verse 1. In a bowl, and seven lights, and two olive trees. And when Zechariah then asked God, what does this mean? You'll notice if you read, God really didn't tell him. He didn't really tell him what this meant in so many words. But he did tell Zechariah three things to pass on to Zerubbabel. Three things that apply to you and me and everyone else that God calls to live an extraordinary life for His glory. And it's those three things that I want us to focus on. And the very first one is God wants you and me to do something bigger than ourselves. God wants you and me, God calls you and me to do something bigger than ourselves. Most of us are well aware of our limitations. Oh yeah. We have a pretty good idea of what battles we can win and what battles we might lose. And so we tend to chart our path accordingly so that we don't get into those bad places. I've heard people say, well, I would love to have been a writer, but you know, I never thought I could get anything published. I never thought I was all that good, and so I just never tried. Or I would love to have my own business, but I never thought I had enough money or enough capital to get something off the ground. I would love to have a ministry to kids, or a ministry of music, or a ministry to singles. I would love to be able to serve in that way, but I never thought I was capable of getting there, so I didn't even try. Well, it's good for us to be aware of our strengths, and it's good for us to be aware of our weaknesses, but it's so much more important that we be aware of the unlimited power of God. Because when God calls us, God empowers us. And I did tell you that we're all called, right? We're all called. We're His chosen people. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are called, which means then you are empowered. You are empowered. You are His signet ring with His authority, with His mark to make a difference in this world for His glory. We're His chosen. We have His Holy Spirit within us. I can guarantee you that every person you know who has accomplished something of significance in life has not done so solely on their own. They've had some help along the way. Behind-the-scenes help. Help that came from unexpected places. We could call that providential help. And this applies most specifically to kingdom work, to God's work. Those who do great things for the glory of God do not accomplish it in their own skill or their own great charm or their own expertise. They accomplish it by the power of God. That's how it's done. And there's no other path for that. That's the only way it's done. It's exactly what God told Zechariah to pass on to his friend Zerubbabel. He said in verse 6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, not by your might, Zerubbabel, not by your power, Zerubbabel, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Some of you may have heard the saying, attempt something so big that if God isn't in it, it's sure to fail. And what it means is, when we attempt something bigger than we are, we push ourselves. We drive ourselves to rely on a power greater than we are. It constantly reminds us of the fact that we can't do this on our own because it's bigger than we could do. We knew that going in, that we need God's power to make it happen. Now that's not a comfortable spot. It's uncomfortable trusting someone else to be there. It's always uncomfortable. But that's the way God has called us to serve Him. Leaning on Him, depending on His power, on His grace, every step of the way. God is calling you and me to this kind of a life in faith. Faith not in ourselves, not in our own devices, not in our own intelligence, not in our own skills, not in our own resources, not in our own wisdom, but in His strength and His power. God is leading us into this year ahead, not simply to suffer through. That's not what He wants. He never wants that. He doesn't want us just to get by. He's leading us into this season filled with opportunity and challenge so we can walk in His victory, so we can live in His grace, so that we can be blessed and in that blessing be a testimony to those who are looking in for His glory. And believe me, the world is looking in. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul picked this up when he said that the transcendent or the all-surpassing power of God, all that all-surpassing power belongs to God. That's why we're earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Just plain, ordinary people. And when God does work through us, as we allow Him to work, as we yield to His power and trust in His grace, He gets the glory. That's the plan. God said through Zechariah, He said in verse 7, what are you, O great mountain? It's sort of like He's talking to this mountain. He says, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you're going to be like a plain. I think the NIV says, level ground. Level ground. God had called a very ordinary Zerubbabel to a very extraordinary task, to build His temple. To build His temple. Wow. Here you are in a country that's been ransacked and run amok, that was not a faithful place, not a place where God was being worshipped even, except by a very small remnant. And Zerubbabel is called to build the temple. To build the temple. And Zerubbabel faithfully followed that calling. God, through His Holy Spirit, took care of the obstacles, and they were plenty. God wants you, and God wants me, and we as a church, to do something bigger than ourselves. And as we step into His calling, He will take care of our obstacles as well. I don't know about you, but I sure want my mountains to be level ground. Some days we probably all pray that prayer. Well, here's the second thing that God adds to this calling for Zerubbabel, and I believe to us. God wants you to finish what you start. Verse 7 or 8 and 9, he says, and then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, the temple. His hands shall also complete it. You know, at some point in your life, in my life, we're going to be presented with a back door, an easy way out. Every college student has faced this. Every married person has faced this. Every missionary, I'm sure, out on the field has faced this. Every person who has had someone step on their dream or vision has been faced with an opportunity just to walk away. Just to walk away. And God says to His chosen, I called you to start it. I want you to finish it. You may say, but God, I didn't know it was going to be so difficult. I didn't know I would face so many obstacles. I didn't know I would fail so many times. I didn't know that people could be so indifferent or even so ugly to me or criticize me or quit on me. I didn't know it would cost so much. I didn't know it would take so long. There will come a time, and you've been there already, I'm sure, but it will come again and again when walking away, giving up, quitting will never look more appealing. When it happens, remember God's word to Zerubbabel. You began it, you finish it. There's an old saying that when the tough get going, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's the way it goes. Not out the door to something better. They get going to get the job done. When the going gets tough, the tough stay. That's what that saying is about. They tough it out, so to say. Well, God doesn't give us dreams. God doesn't give us visions. God doesn't give us a path to follow so that we can just turn around and leave. Quit. God didn't place an opportunity or an obstacle in your life so that you could fail. God didn't give you a sickness so that you could just quit on life. God didn't give you a great blessing so you could just quit on life either. How many times do we see these folks who win the lottery and they get all this money and they just give up everything? They're the most miserable people in the world. And statistics have borne that out. No. God wants us to go all the way. He wants us to finish that which He's called us to do. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, said, "A man is a hero not because he's braver than anyone else, but because he's brave for 10 minutes longer." God said to Zerubbabel, "Begin this project. He will complete it." And He's saying the same thing to you and me. Begin this project. Walk this path. Fulfill My plan for your life, My calling for you, for your church. Walk this path, and I will give you the strength and the power to complete it. I want you to stay in the race until you cross the finish line. And as we allow God to manifest His power in us, to not only stay the course, but to overcome, that's when His glory shines. And that's where our greatest blessing lies. Here's the third thing that God wanted Zerubbabel to hear. He wants us to start where we are with what we have. The mistake many companies make is they try to be a Walmart or an Amazon or a Coca-Cola or some other industry giant right out of the gate. That's what I'm going to be. And they think we've got to be big, and we've got to be big right now. And so they just way overextend themselves. And it's impossible to do. They're setting themselves up for failure, no doubt. And the same would be true for you or me. God doesn't want us to be something we're not. He wants us to be what we are, who we are. God said to Zerubbabel in verse 10, who despises the day of small things? It's a question. Who does? Well, often we do. I like the way the verse reads in the New Living Translation. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple. The temple. That same temple that Solomon had built. That temple which was one of the wonders of the world. You can read about how it was built with all the gold and all the it was just a modern, a miracle of engineering. A beautiful sight to see. God said, though, in effect, don't worry because you're not going to be able to match Solomon's temple. Don't worry about that. Don't be afraid to do what you can do with what I will give you. I am pleased to see the work begin. As a church, as a community of believers, you know, we know some things God wants us to do. Sure. We know that He wants us to reflect His love to one another and to those around us. We know that He wants us to be sharing His truth, His gospel, to those around us, those who don't know Him. In your life, there are things that you know God wants you to do. Maybe you've been putting off getting started. Maybe you've been saying, well, since I can't start big or I can't get this all done right now, I'll just start later. And it never happens. God says, start now. Start now. Do not despise small beginnings. Do something today. Take that first step. And God will take you to the next step. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, you don't have to see the whole staircase now. Just take the first step. That's good wisdom. Don't be afraid of small beginnings. When you allow yourself to move along by the power of God and you're committed to completing what you start, a small beginning is enough to take you the distance. God calls you and me. He calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's who He is. That's what He does. And He's calling us. He's calling us to do extraordinary things. Now think about it. Going into all the world and making disciples. That's His call. It's pretty big. It's pretty big. Simply think about taking His truth to our community, His love and grace right here to the community that's around us. That's pretty big. Or even your neighbor next door. That's not easy either, is it? He calls us to build His temple. Think about His call to build a more loving, caring fellowship right here at First. A deeper commitment to one another. A growing magnetic presence of the gospel right here in Roanoke. Think about how we can be an influence, a positive, glorious influence for the gospel. Why are we here, you and me? What's God's purpose? Let me suggest to you that we're quite a lot like this guy Zerubbabel. God has chosen us, just very ordinary people, for a very extraordinary purpose. A purpose hugely bigger than ourselves. And he really doesn't care how old you are or how young you are. He doesn't care what resources you have. He already knows. He already knows everything about us. And still, he called us. He tapped us on the shoulder and said, "This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to be." He calls us to embrace his vision, which is so much greater than our own, and allow him to work out his power in our life. He calls us to deepen our commitment to do whatever is necessary to stay the course from start to finish, to go all in. And he calls us to begin right where we are. Not wait for the glory day to come mañana. Not wait until we feel comfortable or confident, but to begin where we are, with what we have. Small beginnings in his power result in extraordinary endings. Zerubbabel followed God's calling. And with God's power, he did complete that temple for God's glory. Ordinary people with an extraordinary task. Let's pray together.